Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever we want to talk about. Hopefully I'll be joined this evening, as always, by the great Tim McLeod, but I haven't heard boo from Tim all day. No waiver wire, no anything. So hopefully he's okay. We were a little iffy in terms of the start time tonight because I had family in, but they started off at 4 o'clock this morning and decided it was time to go to bed. So they're back off at the Hyatt in Morristown sleeping, and I'm doing a show. So hopefully Tim will be joining us very, very shortly. Hope everybody's had a really good week off from fantasy baseball and a kick back in the high gear on Friday. Lots of news to talk about, a very fascinating trade for those, particularly for those who really do like dynasty leagues. You had one of the top pitching prospects in all of the minor leagues, Anderson Espinosa, getting traded for Drew Pomeranz. And just let that sit in for a few minutes. Not sure that Drew Pomeranz was ever as ranked as high as Anderson Espinosa is when he was in the minor leagues, but yet the two were traded for each other in a fascinating trade, which I think has a lot of layers to it that will hopefully, if Tim gets on, we will chat about it. If not, I'll give you my thoughts and opinions on that. Dylan Bundy got the call this week, and I had high hopes. As you know, I ranked him extremely high on my top 100, looked like a complete fool, but he had gone 14-plus innings without a run and gave up 3 home runs today against the vaunted offense of the Tampa Bay Rays. I still like Dylan Bundy. The stuff appears to be most of the way back. There's going to be some bumps in the road, you know, so hopefully this is just one of those bumps and he'll get another chance. I think he's slated to go against Cleveland, so my fingers are crossed because I do own Dylan Bundy and I'm in 4 dynasty leagues in the NFBC league and I have him in 4 out of those 5 leagues. So would like to see from a very personal standpoint him do well the rest of the season. And also just because I like the kid, I like the stuff, and hoping the best for him. And, of course, we had Ulysses Gurriel get signed by, drumroll please, everybody knows this now, but the Houston Astros. So fascinating sign there. We hope to talk about that at length. And then just talk about guys that we think are maybe going to have big breakouts in the second half or guys that we think are sell highs. So throw out some names there so that you guys can debate that and argue that either with us on Twitter or us on our Facebook page. And just so you know, to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's myself at Rich Wilson, at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361. You get the great Tim McLeod at Timothy, at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC. And of course, you can get us at the Facebook page, prospect361.com, Dynasty League Group, prospect361.com, Dynasty League Group. And of course, if you've got rate review us, you can do that on iTunes, and that would be really great. Had a couple of very, very nice reviews recently, and we definitely appreciate that. One quick thing about Twitter, just 2 real quick things. It's me personally. I try to respond to everybody's tweets. Sometimes I get so many, I don't get a chance to respond. I apologize. But I will not respond first and foremost when you tweet at 4 other guys and myself as an opinion on the trade. I just don't want to do it. So if you want my opinion, want my thoughts, good, bad, or indifferent, just send me at Rich Wilson P361, what do I think about this? But the crowdsourcing with different fantasy writers and so forth is it basically hints everybody, no one likes to play that game, so we just don't do it. And secondly, if you continue to goad me into stuff, there's a guy who's telling me that Cleveland Indians is the best farm system out there. I get it, it's funny 1 time, 2 times, but if you keep pestering me about it, look, it's not going to end well. So I get it. I love teasing and all that kind of stuff, but just be careful. Don't go too far. Just FYI, my thoughts there. As we wait for the great Tim McLeod to join us, let's go out and talk about our good friends out at SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites make it complicated, then try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. SeatGeek has taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. SeatGeek pulls all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. I've done that, believe it or not. Do not make fun of me on Adele. My wife wants to go see Adele. Tickets are running $1,000 a seat. Oh, my word. I'm not going to go see Adele at $1,000 a seat at Madison Square Garden. Just FYI. But they will come down as the event gets 7 nights or something like that. So hopefully we'll start to see those prices come down. If they don't get it into a more reasonable price, we will not be going to see Adele. Again, it's challenging my manhood already. Going to see Adele, I like the singer. My wife's a big fan as well. But boy, $1,000 a seat, not going to do it. But you can set those alerts, and SeatGeek will tell you when they hit to the price point that you're interested in. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detail map to see the view from your seat. It's a really, really cool feature. I encourage you to go out and check that out. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows you the full price from start to finish and never surprises you with huge fees at checkout. The best thing is our listeners get $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. This is what you do. Download the free SeatGeek. That's SeatGeek. Download that free app off the iTunes or the Apple Store, or go off to the Google Store and do that. Go to the settings tab and click on add a promo code. Enter the code 361. That's 361. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Once you do that, you're going to get an email. They'll ask you for your PayPal account, and then they'll drop $20 in a few days later. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code 361 today. Again, we encourage you guys to all use that as you're going out and buying all your concert tickets, baseball tickets, football tickets, or whatever. It's a really, really good service. And with that, hopefully this isn't the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, how are you?
Well, not too bad, Rich. Skype still hates me, but life goes on.
Are you on your phone? Because it comes up as all ones. I thought you were coming in on Skype.
Yeah, I was trying to, and then it starts in with the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then, oh, sounds like a guy jumping into a pond, and then it just cuts me off.
Well, what I'll try to do next week is we'll go with what we did about a year ago. We started having all the problems. I will send you that invite so you can actually come in digitally again with your headset on. We'll see if that works. We'll try that next week.
Sure, sounds good. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that I haven't updated my Skype since 1987, but in the event that that's the case, maybe I should look at that too, Rich.
There you go, Timmy. That's always the case. So how did you spend your week off, Tim? You had, when I say week off, I'm talking there was Monday through Thursday. Did you watch the All-Star game? Did you watch the Home Run Derby? Did you watch the AAA All-Star game? What did you do?
I watched the Home Run Derby. I caught most of it. I ignored the All-Star game because I was on the road working. And for the most part, I just worked like a dog all week, Rich. It was one of them weeks where the real gig came before anything else, and I just sort of put my nose to the old grindstone and didn't really follow all that much, except the ongoing news that was happening during that 3-4 day period. Other than that, I posted a lot and looked forward to box scores.
I thought it was funny. I did watch the Home Run Derby as well. Usually I don't, Tim, but yeah, I just turned it on, turned the sound down. I think my son was visiting. He's dropped off Beans. Then we are now babysitting Beans for the next 2 years of our life. Oh, my God, what a disaster that is. But that's for another story. Anyway, we just had it on as we were chit-chatting and so forth. But Giancarlo Stanton, Tim. Oh, my word.
Yeah, I think we can safely say he has at least 79 grade power, Rich.
It's unbelievable. I mean, Tim, again, Trumbo had some pretty massive home runs, but they took a look at the farthest home run. I mean, he was like 1 through 10. Giancarlo, I mean, they were just massive shots. That's the way the home run derby's supposed to be.
Well, yeah, didn't he, just for giggles, didn't he hit one off a tee?
I didn't see that. I did not see that.
Yeah, somebody was telling me in the beforehand, or when I guess the players were gathered before the event, he, if I'm not mistaken, he hit one off a tee on a bet or a dare or something like that. But no, the guy
did it go out?
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, I think that's what the wager was, eh? But you know what? When you look at pitchers that were throwing the ball in at what 60 miles an hour, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the distance that he was getting on them, it's no wonder when, you know, a fastball pitcher tosses one down the middle at 98 miles an hour, he hits it 500 feet.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, Tim. The velocity, the extreme velocity that you throw at actually does make the ball go farther, because the physics of the explosion on the bat, with the bat speed hitting, you know, 98 mile an hour pitch with bat speed of, you know, 70 miles an hour or whatever, that's a much more explosive force than a 60 mile an hour hitting a 70 mile an hour bat speed. And so, which is interesting. They're easier to hit, Tim, because they're slower, but man, the ball will go a lot faster. The fact that he was hitting them that far in a 60 mile an hour batting practice pitches, I mean, it's unbelievable how that is.
Yeah, no, it totally is. I agree.
And then I watched a little bit of the All-Star game. As always, I thought it was a little boring. He had one inning of explosion there. I think it was the first inning when they got to Johnny Cueto. But other than that, it was a little boring.
Yeah, well, you know, I think baseball might have some problems, because I think on the ratings for the evening, they lost by 2 million viewers to America's Got Talent, okay? Speaks for itself.
Are you serious? Really? Wow.
Yeah, the lowest rated All-Star game since color TV, I believe.
Oh, man, that's really, really disappointing. I did watch the AAA All-Star Game, Tim. Talk about dry, watching paint dry. Boy, that was dull. Boy,
it was,
good.
Eh?
It was not good. First of all, there's a lot of 27, 28-year-old guys that are playing. It's like, I mean, so that you don't really have many fun prospects that you can, prospects that you can dream on. Hunter Renfroe was there. But there was probably only handful of guys under 25. Most of them were older players that, you know, used to be in the big leagues. Don't ask me any of the names, because I can't think of any at the moment, but that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, I heard it was interesting with Bregman when he, you know, when he got three quarters of the cycle. I guess somebody told me they had him mic'd or something. And
yes, that was on the Futures game. Now, that was great. Now, the Futures game was great. And he said, well, I'm going to try to yoke one out. And he swung from his heels, Tim, and it didn't go anywhere. So,
but you know, to have him comment like
that—that's great.
Those are things that are great.
Absolutely, totally agree with you, Timmy. Let's get into the news. You mentioned Alex Bregman, and it's funny. Now, I do like Jim Bowden a lot. I think whenever he's on the MLB Network, I always listen. I don't know how modern his thoughts are anymore, but he's a little out there, a little on the edge. And he tweeted out that Alex Bregman was getting the call this weekend. And people were asking me, oh, he's getting the call. What do you think? What do you think? And my only comment was, let's wait till a real source tells us if he's coming up or not. Of course, he doesn't come up. And then the Astros surprises all with the signing of Ulesky Gurriel. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I did go to pronounce.wiki to try to figure out how to say his name. But, Tim, little surprise. What are your thoughts on the whole Gurriel signing?
Yeah, it really caught me off guard. Shock, I guess, is the right word that comes to mind. But now that I've had a few days to ponder the whole set of circumstances over, it's not like they invested a whole ton of money in the guy. And one of the things I did find very interesting was that they had him at his tryout. They had him playing in the outfield, Rich.
Okay. All right. Well, wait a minute. Don't they have a ton of outfielders as well? So.
Well, yes, they do. But they've also got a ton of outfielders that aren't – well, I shouldn't say a ton. They've got a couple where there could be some upgrades. And you know, when I look at this situation, I don't think it's going to be cause for holding Alex Bregman back. But at the same point in time, I am a little concerned because the Astros said, you know, as soon as he got back from the AA All-Star game, they were going to move him to third base. Well, guess what? He hasn't played at third base since the AA All-Star game. Hit another home run today, his sixth. I'm really not quite sure what to think of everything that's happening with Bregman right now. You know, one thing that crossed my mind, is there a possibility that they offered him one of those singleton-type deals and he turned it down, and that might be cause for him spending more time at AAA? Or am I out to lunch?
I think, well, I mean, who knows, Tim? I'm sure every rookie has been offered a Jonathan Singleton type of deal, maybe a little bit more, maybe a Gregory Polanco type of friendly deal, Evan Longoria. I mean, everybody's always offered that. Whether the Astros are punitive about that, if he rejected it, I wouldn't think so. It's a smart organization. I think they're going to call him up. I mean, let's face it, Gurriel's not going to be up for, best case scenario, 3 or 4 weeks. So they can have an immediate upgrade, even if they bring him up next week and see him play. Now, it is interesting he's not back at third. I think long-term, Tim, this is just me. I'm just speculating. Carlos Correa is the guy who moves to third base, and I bet you see Bregman at short because Carlos Correa has not been good at shortstop. We all thought he would grow out of the shortstop position, and maybe they should just move him over and be done. And then Bregman could play shortstop. I think that would actually be very, very interesting. But A.J. Reed, let's face it, Tim, I know you have him in your talent wars. I know you're hoping for things. He's not been playing well. Could Gurriel play first base?
Gurriel has played first base, second base, outfield, third base, and shortstop. I think Gurriel could play anywhere, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think he's going to see time at DH, time at third. I think he's going to see time all over the place. Not much time at second base, mind you, but, you know, I'm almost envisioning a super utility type player right now.
He could be, and we're talking this year. I think next year, I don't know if Gattis is signed through next year. I guess we could check that out.
Right.
I mean, I think Evan Gattis is on the short string. I think Colby Rasmus is probably not going to be next year, back next year. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities next year. But this year, the scouting report on Gurriel, and I've only seen videotapes, and I have talked to some people this week, he's a bat-first guy. This is a guy with an elite bat skills, great bat speed, has some power. He's not going to be a 30-home run threat, but he'll be a 15-20 home run threat. Not all that athletic, doesn't have any speed, so stolen base is not going to be part of it, Tim. But from all accounts, this guy controls the strike zone and can flat-out hit.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his stats from Japan, and that would probably be the closest that I could use as far as a comp. And when he was there in 2014, you know, in half a season, he had 11 home runs with 30 RBIs and a .305 batting average. What is interesting is in that half season, he played 35 games at second base, 29 at third.
Yeah, the only plus defensive skill that I've heard that he has, Tim, is he's got a plus arm, which should allow him to play in the outfield. It could also allow him to play third base. The other thing, Tim, that I've heard, and I'm just going to throw a comp out, and this is what somebody told me, and I'm going to say a front office person told me, they think he has a kind of similar skill set as Wade Boggs with a little bit more power. That's what they told me, Tim.
Well, and you know, you were talking about players that aren't going to be back. Carlos Gomez is another one. And he's been a huge disappointment to boot. So, you know, hey, long-term, Gurriel could be in the outfield. You know, Bregman could be in the outfield, for all we know. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you.
You know,
but
there's
another problem. Did you buy my comp of Wade Boggs? Is that way too over the top?
No, Wade Boggs had incredible strike zone judgment. I don't know if Gurriel has that level at his current age. You know, I think you could comp him to Boggs, and I think it's fair. But I think what we have to see is we have to see what he looks like on the field, because he hasn't played a whole lot in the past, year and a half. And it's going to take some time to knock the rust off. And I'm tempering my expectations for this year.
That's where I wanted to go with you on this, because I think long-term is a good sign. He is 31 years old, so you might have a window of 2 or 3 years of getting really good production here. But you're absolutely right. There's a lot of rust on there. Apparently, he's in very, very good shape, but doesn't mean he's in good baseball shape. The eye could be off a little bit. Easy to pull a muscle when you're over 30, Tim. You and I know this coming back. So I think everybody's got to temper their expectations. So let's go to Fab this weekend. What do you do? I mean, you again, the best you're going to get is 6 weeks out of the guy. I mean, how all in do you go on Fab for the rest of the year?
I would spend more on Ryan Healy than I would on Gurriel for this year. How's that?
Wow, that's interesting, Tim. That's also kind of a Healy doesn't quite have as much punch as Gurriel, but he's got another guy who really controls the strike zone very well and kind of a similar kind of player. He's already hit one home run. I get that. But I think there's something there with Healy.
Well, I think the problem is when you start looking at Gurriel, you're going to have to buy him now. But you're buying him now knowing that you're looking at a 3 to 4 week window in all probability where you've got no stats coming. He's going to be sitting on your bench stashed away. How much is Healy going to produce in the next 3 to 4 weeks? What's the potential there? You're taking, I think, a very big chance on a player who hasn't played much in the past 2 years, and you're looking at probably, 5 weeks of production? Maybe six? That gets a little dicey for me. I won't own Gurriel this year because I won't put up the money that's going to be required to buy him, I don't think.
Who produces more this year, Tim? Bregman or Gurriel?
Bregman.
Interesting. So when does he get called up?
I'm sticking to my time frame of end of the month.
I want a date, Tim. I want a date and a time. Give me the
date.
Give me the time. The time, yes.
If you want a date, I want supper. At least, if I'm going out on a date with you, the least I want to get meal.
All right. Tim is. I'm going to say.
I'm playing hard to get, Rich. Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you my date. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say the 19th. I'm saying he's coming up on Tuesday, Tim.
Okay. I'm sticking with my August 1st.
August 1st. I got the 19th to get August 1st. Third base. Or outfield? It's got to be third base, because he hasn't played the outfield yet, has he?
Well, he hasn't played that much third base either. I'm thinking a combination of third base, DH. How's that?
Yeah, probably right. You know, it's funny. These guys that are really athletic and just baseball rats like Bregman, he doesn't need that much time on third base to be sufficient over there. I mean, it's right? I mean, this is not a guy. I mean, we see this on Manny Machado. He paid like, I don't know, a couple of hours in infield practice he played, and he turned out to be one of the best third basemen in a long, long time that we've seen over there.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at Nick Castellanos. He basically learned the position, and he had a lot more learning to do than a Bregman. Okay, but Castellanos learned the position on the job, and he was no great shakes, but he was adequate. He was good enough to play at the major league level.
Yeah, I mean, it's these guys, they're major leaguers for a reason. I know Bregman isn't yet, but I do think he'll make the transition fairly easily. Again, I think Gurriel, going back, just to kind of wrap it up, from my opinion, 5 years, $47.5 million. A lot of people say, why did they do that when they have Bregman coming up? Well, Tim, if we've learned something in the last 2 years from the Chicago Cubs, is you cannot have enough really good talent, because with really good talent, it gives you an opportunity to trade from strength. That pitching staff is not going to make it through the end of the year. So now they've got some guys that they could potentially move with Gurriel as another asset there. So, and we know that positional players can really go for bring a lot of value back. So I think they're starting to get stacked just like the Cubs. So they need guys like that. And the Astros need guys that can make contact. That's one of the things that's missing besides Correa and Jose Altuve, we were hoping AJ Reed would be that. Those are those two guys that make contact. They need some other guys in that lineup that make enough contact so that then the Colby Rasmuses and then Gattis can hit home runs.
Well, yeah, and you know, I'm not 100% convinced that Carlos Gomez is on that team come August 1st. Are you?
Well, that's a good question. So are you saying because they think they'll move him or he'll just become the fourth outfielder?
I'm thinking there's a possibility they might move him.
So they would be buyers and sellers.
Yeah, well, Gomez is of no value after this year is over, is he?
Nope. And he's been, Tim, let's face it, he's become Carlos Gomez before the bad Carlos Gomez. I mean, Carlos Gomez, that's a really good question. So I'm looking back. He had those magnificent years of 24 home runs, 40 stolen bases, 23 home runs, 34 stolen bases. That was 2013 and 2014. Before that, Tim, let's face it, he wasn't very good. I guess he had a pretty good year in 2012. I mean, he was terrible. Everybody was thinking he was going to be the next great player. He's had two outstanding years, and now he's last year 242 batting average and 13 home runs, and he's back to being terrible again this year. Four home runs, Tim.
How many? Five? Six?
He has four home runs this year. He had 12 total last year. He's batting .211. He's got an on-base percentage. Tim, are you ready for this? .275. His OPS, .598.
He's looking up at Billy Hamilton. That's not a good thing, Rich.
This is not a major league player. This is below replacement level.
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, hey, what's to say August 1st that Bregman isn't in that outfield, or Gurriel a couple weeks later. There's a lot of pieces that I think the Astros could shuffle, and I really don't believe that A.J. Reed or Bregman will be a part of any trade discussions on behalf of the Astros. They're keeping those players.
Tim, they are so valuable. Both those guys have 7 years of team control, and with that kind of upside, it makes them, and people have sent out, are they going to trade Bregman? I mean, well, first of all, you're talking if they did, they could get a boatload of guys back from him. So, I mean, there's a possibility, but, man, a potential all-star, they just don't grow on trees, Tim. No way.
No, they don't. And, you know, he's been in triple A, I think, now for less than 2 weeks, and he's up to six home runs.
Yeah.
You know.
I know what people are saying. Well, look at Carlos Gomez going back to him, Tim. Who's going to want him at batting .211, 30 years old, or maybe 31? He'll be 31 in December. Who's going to want him? Well, Tim, there'll be somebody that sees a hitch in his swing, sees something, and says, look, we can fix that. We can fix that. And they'll take him.
Well, yeah, because 2 months down the road, once you get to the end of September, he's not there anyways. It's just a rental. And for 2 months' worth of gamble, I don't think they'd have any problems moving Carlos Gomez.
Well, I tell you, Timmy, he better. If I'm Carlos Gomez and I'm his agent, I don't know who his agent is, I'm hoping he gets moved to maybe a change of scenery. Maybe it's just not clicking in that Astros clubhouse for some reason. Who knows? Because, Tim, he's going to be one of those $6 million a year. He'll be an Ian Desmond kind of contract where it's going to be a 1 year to see if he can turn it around. He has just killed his value.
Well, yeah, there aren't any five-year $100 million contracts that are going to appear out of the blue for Carlos Gomez. You're right. It's going to be a one, maybe a two-year deal max, and it's going to be very, very team-friendly.
Tim, let's talk about Ryan Healy. I think it just goes by Ryan, but it's R-Y-O-N Healy. He kind of snuck up. I know he snuck up on me. I think he snuck up on the whole industry. Again, a kid who can really hit. And my question has always been about his power. Then I take a look, at 374 plate appearances this year. He hit 14 home runs, about across double and triple A. And, of course, his second game, he goes yard. So sounds like pretty in on Ryan Healy. I'm looking at your waiver wire. I just got it a few minutes ago, and I'm assuming you have him on here.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely on there. And one of the reasons that I like the kid is, you know, he's showing very, very good plate coverage this year, in addition to the power. But I think that Danny Valencia is in the process of getting moved and will get moved before the deadline. So what you're looking at is a kid who I believe is going to play full-time down the stretch with power potential and a pretty good eye for the strike zone. I can't see how one can go wrong investing in that commodity.
I agree with you, Tim. I think it's really, there's very little downside except fab money, if that's what you're betting on. And I think there's a chance there. I see Jai Man Cho. I can't wait to hear your analysis on that. He seems like he's been a prospect, Tim, for 100 years.
Yeah, he's only 25, though, and he could be the right choice.
It's at the Angel. I didn't know he was with the Angels organization. I don't know. So Tim, somebody posted out on Facebook that Edwin Jackson was pitching a no-hitter. And honestly, Tim, I had no idea who he was playing for. Did you know who he was playing for?
I knew it was the Padres, but I didn't think he was starting. And yeah, that was our good friend Ed. And as soon as he posted that, bye bye no hitter. But what was he doing tossing, you know, six no hit innings in the first place? That's something you bet on in Vegas with your last dollar, hoping you become a millionaire, right?
That's very funny, Tim. But did you read the stat line? 6 1/3 innings. This is total Edwin Jackson. 6 1/3 innings, but he did win the game. One hit. You're going, oh my gosh, that's great. 5 walks, 3 runs given up, 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts. I mean, that is such an Edwin Jackson strat line.
I think he had 4 walks while a no-hitter was still intact, eh? So, you know, he would have had to have thrown probably somewhere in the area of 170 pitches to go the full 9 if it was still on the table, eh?
Well, it was interesting. I don't know if you remember his only other no-hitter was like 130 pitches. He walked like 7 or 8 guys. I remember it distinctly. And he struck out like 10. I mean, he pitched 130 pitches.
Well, yeah, if you want to see ugly no-hitters, it's good near the top of the list.
Good to see my good buddy Brandon Morrow with a 3rd save of the year. I thought it was going to be Butcher, but it looks like it's Brandon Morrow in San Diego and pitching okay. Still got an ugly 5.15 ERA, but 3 saves, I think 3 for 3.
Well, yeah, the ugly ERA is well before he inherited the closer. Yeah, I don't think he's allowed a run now in 8 or 10 appearances since he's been moved back into the bullpen. You know, I sort of posted in jest on the Facebook page. With Pomerantz moving, I was sort of hoping they'd move Maurer back into the rotation, but Butcher owner, but. You know, he's doing well in the bullpen, and he's going to hold that job until he fails, and it's going to take more than just one bad outing now that he's established himself.
Tim, I saw a Facebook post from you, speaking of closer, about Aroldis Vizcaino, and you posted out there that he was not pitching well, and all of a sudden he winds up on the DL, and now all of a sudden my question for you is it Mauricio Cabrera, or is it Jim Johnson, the old Baltimore closer?
Well, interesting today, because it was a scoreless game until the 9th, and they brought Johnson in the 9th. Cabrera was still sitting there at the ready. Now, I don't think that means a whole heck of a lot, but, you know, I think the better arm is by far Cabrera. Even if Jim Johnson gets the job initially, I think the Braves are going to look to try and move him at the deadline. A lot of teams need relief pitchers. I think for me, I'm investing in Cabrera. And even if Johnson gets the gig initially, I'm going to hold on to Cabrera, because I think over the balance of the season, he could hold more value in Atlanta.
I think you're right. But I have Vizcaino, and I also have Cabrera, but in one league where I desperately need saves, I think I got to go big. I have to go personally large on Jim Johnson, because I got to cover my bases there. And I hate having 3 potential closers on one team, but I think I got to go there.
Well, yeah, and then don't worry, Rich, because they'll shut Turan down because he's overworked, and they'll move him into the closer role for the last 5 weeks of the season, right?
Oh,
you know that thing
fantastic
about Murphy and his laws?
Yeah, well, I do have plenty of fab in that league, because, Tim, I fell asleep at the wheel, and I could have outbid everybody on What situation? What was the closer? Not Hudson. It was in Arizona, because I had Brad Ziegler, and I also in that league owned Hudson, and I should have gotten Clippard, and I didn't. I just fell asleep because I was moving, and I just fell asleep.
Well, yeah, but did you see what happened today in Arizona?
No, I did not.
Oh, it was a gem. They were up, I think it was 6-1 going into the eighth. Hudson allowed two runs. He got roughed up in the eighth to make it close. Then Clippard came in the ninth, and he allowed another two or three earned runs before being relieved by Barrett, who allowed two hits, inherited runs to score, and he ended up with the save and a 6-5 win.
Oh, so, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, so wow, that's really bad.
That's ugly all the way around. You know, nobody really proved anything today except they should be pitching BP, right?
Yeah. But Clippard can pitch. I mean, we know that. I mean,
well,
he's always struggled as a closer, but we know he can pitch.
Well, yeah, I still think he's the best option, but all three of them didn't look real stellar today.
They should have kept Ziegler. What do I know? But they did get. I forgot who they picked up. No, they didn't pick up Paddock. Let's go back to the Red Sox trade, Tim. Because to me, this was the most. I thought the Gurriel signing was interesting. Healy call up and poor Josh Bell, Tim. What do you think? That's before we get into the Red Sox deal. What do you think about Josh Bell? 2-for-2, an OPS of 2,500, and he gets demoted.
Well, yeah, and now they're going to move him to the outfield,
where he started off, Tim, and he couldn't play, so they moved him to first base.
Yeah. Can you say run around? But
does that mean they're going to move Andrew McCutchen in the offseason?
Who knows with Pittsburgh? Who really knows what's up their sleeve? Except if it involves spending money, it's not part of their plans. I'll just leave it at that. Like I said, I've ranted, I've vented, and you know, it's a very, very frustrating situation. There's no way Josh Bell should be at AAA. That's just wrong on every level imaginable.
So it's funny, Tim. I tweeted something what I thought was very, very clever, and it got retweeted more than most of my tweets get done. It was hundreds of times it got repeated, and I was pretty proud of myself. And let me just read this to you. I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
Okay.
There's always a story in all the things that I do. That's
right.
Where did it go? This is great radio, Tim, everybody. Okay. Josh Bell demoted after going 2-for-2 in a grand slam. A real motivator for the kid. Maybe he can call Trey Turner and commiserate. Pretty good,
like
right?
That. Yeah.
Here's the problem, Tim. Here's the problem. I spelled commiserate, commensurate, not commiserate, commensurate.
that's close. Come on.
Usually if it's not ever retweeted or somebody, one person retweets it, but when it goes out to hundreds of people and they're all going, what a moron. I mean, people are saying, wow, does he commiserate? If he really gets upset, he should commiserate with it. I'm like, yeah, great. So here I am trying to be smart, Tim, and I can't even use 10-cent words correctly.
Well, you know what? Every grammar specialist in the Twitter sphere probably retweeted that with a smart-ass comment, would be my guess.
I'm sure they did. It was very, very funny because, and Tim, you know, I didn't know how to spell it, so I did, and then, you know, popped up and asked me for my options. I thought, oh, great. And I picked the wrong one. And it's not like I fat-fingered it. I truly picked the wrong one. That's what's bad. I can't even lie and say, oh, I meant to pick the other one, and my finger hit the wrong. I truly looked at it and go, oh, that's it. Boom. And then after the tweet went out, I looked at it and go, that's not it.
Well, so, you know what you say is you say, you know, you were just talking Canadian, okay? That'll leave them scratching their heads for a few minutes anyways.
When it went out, I said, I should delete this and rewrite it. I go, nah, nobody's, you know, I just closed the computer. Nobody's going to look at it. Then you go back and see hundreds of people commented on and tweeted. I'm like, oh, it figures, you know. So
it goes back to Murphy and his crazy laws again, doesn't it?
true. Let's go back to the Red Sox and their crazy trade. I you need to help me with this. I definitely have an opinion about it, but I'd love to hear this. Just give everybody, I know you've all heard it, but just what the deal was. The Red Sox acquired Drew Pomeranz from the Padres in exchange for Anderson Espinosa, a right-handed prospect, number 20-something on my midseason top 50. Pomeranz had a great year, Tim, 102 innings pitched, a 10-15 strikeout per nine, a 7 ERA. The only thing that's, you know, I can find a little wonky there is his walk rate's a little high at 3.6 per nine. He's got a kind of a 240 batting average of balls in play, so there looks like there's some regression around that. But otherwise, it's pretty good. Of course, he pitches in Petco. So on the surface, looks like a good signing by the Red Sox, but I don't know why my radar says danger Will Robinson, but that's what it's telling me.
Well, my radar is saying the same thing, but he's only going to pitch half his games in Fenway, for starters. And I think what we saw in the first half was very real. I don't think there's any illusions there. I think he's always had the potential to be a very good pitcher. When was the last time he was healthy? T-ball? You know, he's healthy. I think it was a good trade. You know, the Red Sox needed a starting pitcher badly. And when you look at the market for starting pitchers, there's not a whole lot out there heading into the deadline, is there?
I think your analysis is spot on. I think if the Red Sox think they got a number two starter, they're going to be sorely disappointed. Red Sox fans as well. If they think they got a number four starter, I think they're going to be pretty happy. They get 2 years of team control, Tim, which is big.
Yep.
And I think he's a, you know, 3.75, 4 ERA guy, and if he pitches, I think he'll be serviceable and pretty good. The problem is, Tim, and I did my research, the highest number of innings he's ever thrown in one season across any level has been 146 innings, and that was in 2013. So, Timmy, I mean, he's already at 102. You're talking 5-6 starts, you hope, maybe 7 starts, and he's going to be at his highest number of innings pitched. It's not good.
Well, the only thing is we're not talking about a kid here. He's, what, 27, 28, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and how many of these seasons have been preempted due to injuries and, we'll say, last year's stupidity? I'm not concerned. I think he can throw 175 innings, so I'm not concerned about that inning level, assuming he doesn't go and do anything stupid on a Gatorade container or something of the such.
Yeah, so if he does, let's just say 170 divided by 6, that's 11 starts. So
right.
That should take him, let's see, so you got August, you got about 5. That should take him to the beginning to the middle of September.
Yeah, you're looking at August, 31-day month. You're looking at 6 starts in August. We'll say he's starting 1, 2 in July, 6. I don't have any problems with seeing him make it to the middle of September. No problems at all. And, unless there is some sort of an injury that occurs, and it's not like we haven't seen them in the past, I think the Red Sox are just going to wheel him out there and they're going to start him every fifth day, and the innings pitched aren't really a concern.
It was a tough, tough pay, Tim. I mean, Anderson Espinosa's got a great arm. I said there was a lot of hair on him just because I didn't like the size, and you know, he's very, very young. He's got a lot of things that can go wrong. He got a bit of a haircut, Tim, going to Petco, and going not just Petco, because they're hitting more home runs now in Petco than they ever have, but moving to the NL and moving to the NL West is a huge boost for the potential for this guy. So in dynasty leagues, I think he definitely took a step up. It's a big I don't say an overpay, but I'll say it's an overpay for Drew Pomeranz long term. But Tim, when they got Dombrowski, this is the kind of moves that he makes. He's not afraid to trade any and everybody. And don't be surprised, Tim, if Benintendi or Mankata gets traded at some point. I don't think he'll do it, but he's not afraid to trade it. And if you're Red Sox fans, you have to know that now going in, that he'll trade anybody to try to win. And I think as a fan, Tim, isn't that what you care about?
Well, yeah, you know, the Red Sox are, what, 3 games out, 2-3 games out, something like that. They're not going to roll over and play for second spot. That ain't going to happen. And let's face it, the fans don't expect that, and the team ownership doesn't expect that. They're going to make the moves they had to make. And the one thing I liked about this deal is by going early, they're avoiding the last-minute dash to try and secure somebody's services. And I think that's a big deal because as you get into the final two, 3 days and you get a guy, say, like Billy Beane, who tosses Sonny Gray out there, you know, the bidding could be absolutely outrageous when he's got three, four teams all vying to try and get a starting pitcher to put them over the top. At least the Red Sox went early on Pomerantz, and I give them credit for that, and I think it's to their advantage.
I love what you had to say because this offseason, Tim, there is no pitching out there. There just isn't. Rich Hill is going to be your number one pitcher off the board. And there's really nothing here, you know, as we get to the trading deadline. So Pomeranz and, you know, potentially Julio Teheran, they're saying that he's not going to be available. Maybe Sonny Gray. If I'm the Braves, I'm the Oakland A's, I'm definitely putting those guys out there because if Drew Pomeranz gets me with 2 years of team control, gets me Anderson Espinosa, Sonny Gray is going to, and Julio Teheran is going to, it's going to return a boatload of players because those guys definitely still have years left from team control. So I'm surprised that we haven't heard more about that already.
Well, I think what's going to happen is as we head into this week, we might see a deal here, a deal there, and then come about July 26th, 27th, I think all hell's going to break loose, and it's going to be one massive free-for-all. A lot of fun for us as fans of the game and players playing the fantasy game, but I think it's going to be a crazy last week because there's a lot of teams that just need a piece of this or a piece of that to finish off what they believe is enough of the puzzle to get them to the promised land. And I think there's going to be lots of things going on, especially in the last week.
And it just so happens that the Red Sox have a chance and they're still very, very deep in their farm system. The Cubs have a good chance. They're incredibly deep in their farm system. And the Astros have a real chance, and they're very, very deep in their farm system. So those are three primed candidates that could go after the Sonny Grays of the world, the Julio Teherans of the world. And we've seen with Jeff Luno in Houston, to not afraid to make bold decisions, not afraid to make a bad decision. I mean, nothing worse than that Kenny Giles decision so far, and he's not afraid to do it.
Well, you know what? When you look at, say, comparing Houston to Pittsburgh, okay, is it better to make a bad decision and make a decision than to make no decision at all?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing we know, Tim, is that the Pittsburgh Pirates will not do anything. They might bring in the Justin Morneaus of the world, which is what they've done before. I mean, they'll bring in a third-tier player and they'll give up, you know, a small little piece. They're not going to give up, you know, a big piece to try to win it all. They're not going to give up Josh Bell to get Sonny Gray. They won't do it.
No, I've said it numerous times. They should have went all in on David Price 2 years ago. They could have had him for two playoff runs.
Yeah, and basically, who did David Price go for? He went for Drew Smiley and, the kid that's actually doing Willie Adema. So that's what he went for, which isn't much, Tim. This was David Price in his prime, and he basically didn't go for a whole lot because there was plenty of pitching out there.
Well, yeah, they could have given up probably Hanson and somebody and secured Price the first go-around, the first move he made.
I agree. I don't know if you heard, somebody was reporting, either Buster Olney or somebody else said that that the Oakland Athletics offered to the Boston Red Sox, they offered Rich Hill for Anderson Espinosa, and Boston said no.
Well, yeah. Well, right now, I think Billy Beane is being quoted as saying Rich Hill is the best pitcher in the game, if I'm not mistaken. Or something along those lines, but I don't know. That's borderline crazy. Rich Hill is right now a very, very good pitcher. That might last for the balance of this year, maybe something. But he's, what, 36 going on 38, somewhere in that range?
He's going to get a lot of money if he makes it to free agency healthy, Tim. This is because somebody's going to pay him 3 or 4 years at $15 million. He's going to cash in.
Yeah, did you catch the act today with Rich Hill?
Tim, I had family in, and I was watching
my
13 and 11-year-old, what would they be, nephews? Wait a minute, so it's my niece. What does that make them? It's my niece's children. What does that make them to me?
Uncle Rich.
Second cousins? am I an uncle? No, I'm her uncle.
Oh, second cousins then.
I'm second cousins, right?
Yeah, you're second cousins, yeah.
All right, well, my second cousin, twice removed, or whatever that goes. I have no idea. I was watching them play billiards, Tim, or pool, and watching something called Frog Olympics or something like that. There was these teams, college teams, competing in like an obstacle course, almost like a military obstacle course. It was very weird. So that was on the television as we were watching them play billiards, and that was my afternoon.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Rich Hill's on the mound today. Okay.
Okay.
And he gets to his fifth pitch, and out comes the catcher. Out comes the trainer. Blister broke. The stands are filled with scouts. Okay. Everybody's got a representative pretty well on the West Coast, so they could see Rich Hill today. And it was funny because the Canadian feed cut immediately over and showed the scouts. And almost all of them were on the phone as the trainer was on the mound with Rich Hill. And you could just see them thinking, you know, they're calling their wife and saying, I wasted 3 plane flights and a day of my life to see 5 pitches and a blister. I'm going home. And that's all they saw from Rich Hill today. And,
yeah,
you know,
I'm looking at him. He doesn't have a stat line. 0 innings pitched, so he only lasted five pitches.
That was it. But I went. How would you feel as a scout to go through all that and see 5 pitches?
Yeah, well, that's I'm sure it's not the first time, Tim. But it's totally. I mean, but that's Rich Hill. I mean, Tim is a guy through his history has never been able to stay healthy. I'm happy for him because he's found a new pitch and it's clearly working for him. Good for him. And when he's out there, Tim, he has been pretty darn good. But
yeah, yeah.
I think anybody who acquires him, they have to know. First, you get an old guy for a rental for the last 2 months. He's not going to get Anderson Espinosa for him. No way.
No. You should basically take what you can get and be very happy with it. Is that the, you know, hey, try and do the best you can. But, yeah, you're not getting an Espinosa. You're not getting, you know, I could hear it now, you know. Calling Boston and saying, yeah, you know, we're interested in moving Rich Hill. All we want is Ben Attendee. Can you do that for us?
Exactly. Click. So, anyway, Tim, when we get back, we're going to talk about our second half predictions, hit the waiver wire, and call it a day.
Sounds good.
I have a handful of second half predictions, Tim, I would like to do. And the first one I think is the important one. And who is your big turnaround guy for the second half? And I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to chime in.
Okay. I picked a bat and a pitcher. And my
of course, Tim, of course you have to make me look bad because I only picked one guy, but you are always over exceeding every kind of thing, which I applaud. So give us the bat first.
Andrew McCutchen.
Mm.
He's batting .245. We got to see a little better than that, I would think, in the second half. He's only walked 33 times. Like, that's just not good. I'm anticipating seeing at least closer to his .280, .290 batting average out of McCutchen. My pitcher is Colin McHugh.
Let me comment on Andrew McCutchen. Just looking at stuff, his batting average of balls in play is a little down from his historical norm. So his historical has been .334, so he's at .304. So you could see potential recovery in his batting average a little bit. His strikeout rate, Tim, is what's been disconcerting. His average 17.9. It's at 24.7. And his walk rate, which is average 11.8, is at 8.7. So he's doing a lot of this to himself.
Yeah, he is. And at 29 years of age, I think he's primed for a bounce back in the second half.
Okay. Yep. The batting average of balls in play says that. He does need to cut down on his strikeouts, and maybe he's just frustrated. Tim is starting to swing at too many bad pitches.
Well, yeah, maybe he's frustrated because Josh Bell's in AAA.
Maybe so. Usually you don't see a 11.6, 13.0, 14.3 walk rate going. Usually goes up for more mature players, Tim, because they get a better sense for the strike zone. You don't
right.
see it going up year over year. In fact, it went up 4 years in a row and then drop off to 8.7 and a massive drop. You generally don't see that unless a guy is really struggling and just trying to do too much, trying to make things happen when he shouldn't. And if he can just calm himself down, and maybe the All-Star break will do that, then I do believe you're right. He is poised for a recovery.
Excellent analysis. I wish you would have picked McCutchen.
I didn't do any analysis on my guy. So, all right, your next guy is Colin McHugh, your buddy, Colin McHugh.
Yeah, he seems to have turned around a horrible season into a good season, and I think the second half is going to be better for him.
I'm hoping not, because I want to see Joe Musgrove come up.
Well, I want to see Musgrove come up too, but I don't want to see him replacing McHugh. I think there's other options he can slide into other than McHugh or McCullers or McKeichel.
McKeichel, you mean McCullers? McKeichel.
Well, no, they're all mixed something, so I just threw that in there.
Okay, all right. So it's interesting, and McHugh, everything looks, his strikeout rate is 8.29, his walk rate is 2.65, everything you like to see that. His home run rate is inflated. If you believe that there is regression to the normal in that, you could see a little bit of regression that helps him out. His batting average of balls in play, 3.46, so you should see some regression to that. Ground ball rate still is very solid, Tim. I think that 4.50 ERA has a chance to definitely go down. You know, at least a half a run, maybe more. So if you believe that, then he should be pitching to a 3.25 to 3.50 ERA for the second half of the year. I think you're on to something.
Sold.
My guy is Jose Bautista. 239 BABIP, Tim, is why I'm doing that. This is a guy who's also playing for a contract. I think he said that he wanted 5 years and $25 million. He ain't going to get it at, 13 home runs or something like that, and batting 239, even if he's the great Jose Bautista. It's a guy that I think can explode very, very quickly, and I think we're looking for a big turnaround. And, again, I back it up with a low batting average of balls in play and the fact that there's the emotion of playing for a contract. And if he can turn it on for the last 2 months of the season, he can have that big contract and I think make fantasy owners very happy.
Yeah, it's definitely has to be a concern because, you know, when you go into the season saying that you're worth 25 mil plus a year and you've had the season you've had, you're not exactly putting your money where your mouth is, and he ain't going to get anywhere near that unless we see a much improved second half. As a matter of fact, I would have a tendency to want to think that unless he does turn it around, the Jays are more than likely to look at E5 than they are Bautista as one of the signings, because I don't think they'll sign both. It's going to be one or the other. They don't have the money to sign both.
Well, E5's a little bit younger than he is, and candidly, Tim, a little bit more consistent.
Well, you take a look at the numbers he's posting this year, and they're pretty solid.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Really? I agree. So that's my guy, Tim. I'm gonna go first with the next one. I have no stats, but here's my question: who are you just done with and have no hope, Tim? It is Patrick Corbin. I own him. I know you said that you cut him a while ago, and you said you own him all over the place. He is freaking brutal.
Well, you know what? All the hope that we saw last August when he came, last year when he came back from TJ, and the great numbers in August, the great numbers in spring. All that hope is dashed. And when I saw who you picked, that would have been that would have been my choice, hands down. I've cut bait with him, I think, in every league now.
Tim, and I've watched a number of his games. He pitches pretty well the first time through the lineup. And he cannot make it through the second time in the lineup. I mean, I people are just seeing his pitches, and it's just butt ugly. I mean, I don't know what his ERA is now, but it might be in the sevens. I mean, and it's not good. I mean, he's it's not just bad luck. It's poor pitch selection. It's lack of movement on his pitches. It's the bad stuff, Tim. And he needs to go back and figure some things out. And I could see, given the Diamondbacks this awful season, they could demote him and bring up Shipley or try something different, but it's not happening with Corbin.
Nope. There's a major work in progress that has to occur there before we see the Patrick Corbin that we thought we were going to see.
Yep. And again, coming back from TJ, it can happen. He could be a blow up guy next year, Tim, and really bounce back. But a 5.25 ERA, it's just butt ugly. 109 painful innings. That if you own him like I do, 19 home runs. So, it's just looking at these stats, Tim, it just gives you heart palpitations.
Oh yeah, in a big way.
1.56 home run per nine. Anyway, who's your guy, Tim?
Well, I'm overachieving again. I got a bat and a pitcher.
Good.
What happened to Liriano? 62 walks in 98 and two-thirds innings pitched. You know, I was always skeptical when it came to Liriano in the first place. But when I see 62 free passes in 98 and two-thirds, that's shake my head material, that is.
Yeah, he is 32 years old, Tim, so that could be playing a part of it as well. Yeah, you're talking a 5.66 walk per nine and something that's just blown up here this year. So it is very, very disconcerting. The ground balls are still there. But the bad thing is his ERA is 5.11. His expected ERA is 4.83. So none of the sabermetric guys like him. So, I mean, you're not going to get any love from anywhere if you're walking almost six per nine. It's just not going to happen.
No, you can't succeed as a major league pitcher indefinitely with numbers like that. My bad is a guy that I owned last year, and I reaped huge rewards with him, but it was a one-year wonder. It was a mirage, and this year he's proving it, and that's one Mitch Moreland. 11 homers, 34 RBIs, a .230 batting average, and soon to be cut by Tim and Boris in DL2.
I think you have to, Tim, because, I mean, why isn't Jurickson Profar playing more first base? You know, and they still got Fielder there. So, I mean, why play Mitch Moreland?
Well, yeah, we asked ourselves the same question, and that's why we're cutting him tonight.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I don't think somebody will pick him up, but yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I would just let it go. Tim, your DL2, all of a sudden it's gotten very, very tight at the top with you and the second place guy. What's going on? Is it your pitching and guys just letting you down and Kershaw being out?
Well, it's a combination of Kershaw being out, Panic being out, J.D. Martinez being out, Gregory Polanco not playing, Mitch Moreland we wished wasn't playing. we've been dealt a mess of injuries, and we've fallen back a little bit. We still have, I think, 73 points. I've been running out five and six closers, and we've taken a big lead in the saves category now. And with Kershaw coming back, McCarthy, I think, was a solid pickup. But with Kershaw coming back, and, you know, Panic probably in a week, J.D. Martinez in two. We still feel rather confident in that one. It was just, you know, you can't have injuries like that and sustain 140-plus points. It just doesn't work.
No, I agree with you. And I think that Brandon McCarthy, maybe he's, you know, maybe it's all going to all implode on him. But two out of the three first starts have been not just good, but great.
Well, yeah, what do you allow, three hits, I think, in his last one, something like that? No decision.
Yeah, he pitched today or yesterday. I got him on an FBC team with him, and he pumped some life into me. All of a sudden, I'm challenging again for the money. So if I get any kind of pitching, freaking Matt Harvey, if I had any kind of pitching, I'd be running away with that league. But I just this makes me ill. Timmy, what rookies make an impact in the second half? Who do you have?
Okay, what rookies make an impact? Hey, I'm going with the guy that I'm posting about every 10 minutes on the Facebook page, and that would be one Alex Bregman for the Astros. And my second choice is a pitcher in Tampa Bay who I think the walks are going to start to come down, and I'm liking Blake Snell for the second half.
I think Blake Snell's a good call. You know, I've never thought he was a top of the rotation guy. He's Tim, and if you take a look at his history in the minor leagues, he's never been a guy who has had plus control. It's a guy that's had average to below average control. So I think he'll hit some rocky spots, but the stuff is very, very good. So he's pitching for the right organization who has a history of really ironing out guys' delivery. So hopefully you're right in that. I think it's a good call.
Thanks, Rich. And like I said, Bregman, how can you argue with what he's doing in the minors? Get him up.
He just needs a chance, Timmy, and I think you'll see that. I'm saying Tuesday. I'm probably wrong, but I'm saying Tuesday.
Well, I hope you're right, because I would love to have him in my active lineup in tote.
How is Tout going, by the way?
Considering the adversity I'm dealing with, I'm very happy. I lost my second catcher this week in Herman, who hit the DL. And I got to figure out what I'm gonna do. I got to find another catcher somehow. But I'm sitting, I think, as of today, fourth with 94, 95 points. I'm about 13, 14 off the lead right now.
That's pretty good. So Herman, as in Herman Munster, or what's your catcher?
That's probably who I'll roster.
Were you a Munster's fan or Adams Family fan?
Oh, Munster's, big time.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I might have hung up on you if it had said the Addams Family. But I was I thought Herman Munster was one of the greatest characters ever created for television.
Yeah, that whole family and the family dynamics, yeah, it's great show.
Fantastic.
I used to rush home after school, when I was in public school, to catch two shows. One was the Munsters and the other was Rat Patrol.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge I did like Rat Patrol okay, but I was a huge Munster fan. I love Grandpa Munster. You're right, the whole team dynamics where they had the beautiful daughter Lily. No, that was the mother. I forgot who the daughter was, and she was hideous. I thought that was great.
Yeah, the only member of the family that just didn't turn out right was the daughter.
Herman Munster, or maybe Grandpa's, wasn't he at Squad 54 or something like that?
Yeah, Car 54, where are you? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, Car 54, yeah. Was he in that?
I'm not sure if he was in that, but he was in, what was it?
Yeah,
My
Herman
Cousin...
Munster, Car 54. Wow, I'm feeling very good about myself, Tim. You see okay. You talked about your memory. I was able to recall it.
Well, memory and recall all in the same package. It just don't get no better.
Fred Gwynn, starring Joe Ross and Fred Gwynn. Look at that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would say that was before my time, but I'm older than you, so I can't get away with that one, can I?
All right, so who are you going to roster? What about Sandy Leon? I saw him on your waiver wire. I mean, I have him rostered in one of my dynasty leagues. I was about to cut him, and I'm like, hold on for a second. I can't tell if this is the real deal or not. He was totally way under the radar on all prospect circles, but he's, you can't deny what he's doing.
Well, no, he's owned.
Yeah.
We're talking, we're down into, I'm bandying about Jeff and Anaheim. How about Soto? We're talking dregs. I've got asked Austin Hedges, so I'm really hoping for a quick Norris trade to bail me out on this one, but it's going to be somebody who plays infrequently that can do the least amount of damage to anything, to my OBP numbers. That's basically what I'm looking at. Kurt Suzuki's available, but I don't think I want him.
Austin Hedges, Tim, just a quick on that. Just if you're not following Austin Hedges, a kid that I've always been extremely high on. Of course, I don't own him anymore in Dynasty Leagues. I told everybody to have patience with him. And what does Rich Wilson has no patience with him. 15, 16 home runs this year, 340 in the minor leagues, already a plus defensive catcher. I think Derek Norris is bye-bye, and I think Austin Hedges will get the chance. And, Tim, I always thought he could hit, and it looks like that's starting to come to the fruition.
Yeah, he had a run a few weeks ago where I think he had home runs in 7 or 8 games in a row. Just a monstrous tear. So I took a chance and I picked him up, rostered him this weekend because it's only a 3-day week, so it doesn't really affect anything as far as my countables. I'm only going to miss one game because of the rules. So I'm going to shift him into my minors and just find somebody, anybody that can hopefully not hurt me too much.
My two rookies, Manny Margot. Enough said there. I just think Melvin Upton and those guys, there's going to be movement here in the next 2 weeks, and Manny Margot is going to get his chance. Do like Hunter Renfro as well. He's always had trouble adjusting to new levels. I think Manny Margot can hit and play defensive plus defense out in center field. He's going to steal some bases. And I'm hoping, and I hate to do this, Tim, I think Colin McHugh could get sat down and Joe Musgrove could be put in his place. And Joe Musgrove looks about ready to me. And I think he'll be an interesting second half pickup for people who are willing to take the gamble.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe Fires are the, you know, towards the bottom end will end up losing a job. But I like Musgrove. I think it's a good call. Are the Stros going to go out and buy starting pitching? I highly doubt it. They're going to promote from within. And you're right, Musgrove is ready. Good call.
What team makes a late season surge, Tim? Who do you got?
I'm going to say once we see Jose Bautista back in Toronto that the Jays end up making a push and winning that division.
They need another pitcher, Tim, to make that happen, don't you think?
Yeah, they do. And I don't know if they will get that pitcher, but I think they're going to have enough offense that it will get them to the division. After that, you know, you're looking at two, three, four starters in the playoffs. You know, Sanchez, Happ, maybe Stroman. It's gonna be tight, but I like the offense, and I think there's enough offense there to get them over the hump.
I like the Pirates, Tim. I like the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about them a lot, but if Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington, I haven't listened to the front office, which I, again, talked about Jim Bone to start the show off. I think he was on the show this morning to get a chance to listen to him. But if they can get out of their way of themselves, and look, I like John Jaso as much as everybody else does. Batting leadoff with 4 home runs, I'm sorry, Tim. Throw Josh Bell at first base. Let's give it to Glasnow. Once Jameson Taillon is back up, let's give him the ball every 5 days. Let's give the ball every 5 days to Gerrit Cole. And I don't care about Jonathan Nease or, you know, Juan Nicasio or even Francisco Liriano. Give me those 3 guys and throw a couple other guys in there and bring it. Let's go. That's a great offense. And I think they can win. I think they can challenge the Cubs.
Well, you know who pitched a really good game today was Cole.
I know, Tim. I could have been wrong. So far, I've been wrong on him.
Very, very good.
Yep. So, totally agree. Tim, rapid fire here. What's your team that's going to make a late season? Oh, you said the Toronto Blue Jays. Rapid fire on this, Tim. And usually the trade deadline is July 31st. This year, I don't know if you know, it's actually the 1st of August, I think, because July 31st comes on a Sunday, which I know for a fact they've had Sunday, July 31st deadlines before, but for whatever reason, they decided to go with August 1st. I'm going to give you a name. I want you to tell me where they're playing on August 2nd. It could be with their existing team or it could be somewhere else. Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, just a quick note. You know why they went to August 1st being a Monday? Because there's probably an early game that day, and it will screw us out of absolutely all of these late-minute moves. It's a conspiracy. I'm convinced of it, Rich. But
because it would have been great for us. It would have been great for Finn. Yeah. Now we're all screwed because it'll be 5 o'clock and we'll be done.
Well, exactly. And then what will happen is all these moves, especially in AL and NL-only leagues, everybody will have to sit on those moves for a full week before overspending.
Lame television shows maybe they should start paying attention more to the fantasy league and the fantasy owners and get us what we want, which are paying the bill for a lot of the MLB.tv and blah, blah, blah. Maybe that'll pump some life into it. How about that, Tim?
Yeah, and they'd have higher ratings than America's Got Talent.
I know. I know. Does Canadian have talent, Tim?
Some of us do. Some of us don't. Depends on who you ask, Rich.
All right. I'm looking very quickly as we've been vamping here. Monday the 1st would be 7:10 is the so I think the trading deadline is 5 o'clock. So at least you'll have 2 hours to figure out what to do.
Well, and it's great for me because that's our civic holiday. I'm off that day, so you know where I'm going to be all day.
Wait, what's a civic holiday? What's that?
It's the first Monday in August.
What does it mean, Tim? What does that truly
name,
mean?
It's a name they gave to the first Monday in August. I have no idea. All I know is it's a day off with stat pay. For some of us, it's not a full statutory holiday in that the government doesn't force you to pay time and a half to people working on that day, but my company treats it as a full stat, so I get the day off, so I'm happy.
But are you supposed to go to the courthouse? Are you supposed to go shake a hand of a police officer? I mean, something civic duty? You're supposed to make a citizen's arrest? I mean, any of those things happen on Civics Day?
I was thinking of buying a Honda. Does that qualify?
Okay. That's very funny, Tim. Okay. Ready. So Aroldis Chapman, where does he wind up on August 2nd?
New York is a Yankee.
You think he stays a Yankee?
Yeah, I think he stays a Yankee. I think Betances and Miller are the two guys that end up getting moved.
I think Chapman goes to, drumroll, the Chicago Cubs.
Ooh, that would be a nice coup, that's for sure.
Would you like to put steak and liquor on Chapman staying or going, Tim? I'm 100% sure he's being traded.
Let me see here. Steak and liquor. No, I'm not that confident on that one, Rich.
Okay. All right.
It's okay. I'm going to take the cowardly route.
Julio Teheran, Tim. Where does he be, in Atlanta or somewhere else?
I'm going to say Atlanta. He stays.
I'm going to say he stays as well. Tim, it's more fun if you pick a place that the guy moves, just FYI. So hopefully not all five of the guys that I've got here are all staying. So.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. But, you know, on the other hand, it might be humor. Nah, forget it. I couldn't torture you that badly.
Carlos Gonzalez, Tim. Does he stay or does he go from Colorado? Carlos Gonzalez.
Boston, the Red Sox.
Wow, it's fascinating. That's exactly where I have him going as well. And I think they'll have to give up. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. What's fascinating, Tim, is they had how many outfielders at the start of the season? And what's happened to Ruzny Castile? I mean, is he just gone away to the ether?
Yeah, he's in another world, but I understand he's got a pretty good contract, so I don't think he's going to be hurting financially for the rest of his life.
Tim, as you know, I was kicking myself because I drafted Yasmani Tomas in a dynasty league when I didn't want him, and I really wanted to take Kyle Schwarber, but my pref list said it was Tomas was the next guy, and then I was convinced that it would be Tomas who would be the stiff and Ruzny Castillo would be good. And I got him wrong. I mean, it's not like Tomas is great, but he makes Ruzny Castillo, when compared to him, he looks like Hank Aaron. I mean, this Ruzny Castillo is terrible.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, because coming through after they initially signed him, he went through the minors real quick, showed up in Boston, looked real good for a week and a half. And, you know, everything was looking very promising. And then in his first full season, a combination of him being exposed and the fact that I really think Boston handled him very, very poorly as far as, you know, playing time and in and out of the lineup. And that's something for the life of me I won't understand. And so often you see it is like a guy like Vargas in Minnesota. Okay, he comes up, he hits a home run. Okay, you know, he's batting 800 in his first two games, hits a home run in the second game, and in the third game they bench him.
I know.
Like, what is up with that? You know, so often you see a player, okay, either underachieving or somebody in a slump or a platoon, hits a home run, and the next day he's riding the pine. Haven't any of these managers ever heard of a thing called momentum and building on momentum? It just gives me cause to shake my head repeatedly.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. We could have a whole show on that, just the players. And manager Dusty Baker is a big manager of it seems like a guy gets in a roll and he benches them for – gives them an off day. I don't understand that, but they've been successful. Just Ruznik Castile, Tim, OPS 595, and Pawtucket in 60 games. It's not like it's just been a small sample size. I mean, two home runs, six stolen bases. Everybody was way off on this guy.
Has he given up?
Maybe he doesn't care. He's 28 years old. He is who he is, and you know, you're right. He's got the money. What does he care now?
He's got cash for life. I think he's based on just the skills that we've seen. Okay, he's got to be better than that. Has to be.
Rich Hill, Tim. Where does he go?
Rangers.
That's a great call. I've got him going to Toronto. I do think he's definitely going to get moved. There's 100% certainty that he's getting moved, provided he's healthy. I think we'll caveat that.
Well, yeah, and if it's just a blister issue, I'm sure that's not going to do too much to diminish his value. And that's all it appeared to be, was just he broke a blister. So, you know, he might end up missing a start until it heals, but it's not a serious per se injury.
Okay. Melvin Upton, Tim. Melvin Upton with the San Diego Padres. I got him going because I got Manny Margot coming up. I don't know where he's going. That's my only problem. But I got him going.
Yeah, I got him going too. And I'm going to toss the Cleveland Indians out there. How's that?
I think they're counting on Brantley to come back.
Yeah, but they've been counting on Brantley to come back all year, haven't they?
Yeah. True, and he hasn't come back, but he is in rehab again. So not rehab. I said that wrong. He's in a rehab assignment. So hopefully that's going to happen. Timmy, let's it's quick break, and we'll come back in 10 minutes and bang out this waiver wire and call it a day. Are you good with that?
Yeah, sounds good to me, Rich.
All right, we'll go for a quick break. Get our thoughts together and waiver wire. Actually, I'm also going to do a two-start pitcher because I love the names I have here, and I want to hear what the great Tim McLeod's got to say about that. Timmy's waiver wire will be up just as soon as I get it done. It will definitely be up at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, but hopefully before I go to bed tonight, it will be out. Mauricio Cabrera, Tim, we've already talked about him. You like him better than Jim Johnson.
Yeah, I think even if Johnson gets the job short term, I think Cabrera is going to earn more saves over the balance of the year, and he's got the better arm. He's got the stuff. They've already turned to him a couple of times for saves, so I'm gonna toss my money. As a matter of fact, I own him in 2-3 leagues already, so I don't have that. I don't have to worry about him. But if I was to toss my money this week, it would be on Mo Cabrera.
Jaiman Cho, Tim, and obviously CJ Cron is going to miss the next 6-8 weeks. Broke his hand. I mean, they don't have anybody they have nobody in which they can use to trade for anybody. So it probably is Cho's opportunity. The question is, can he do anything?
Well, you know, he's now hit in 5 consecutive games since the recall. He's an intriguing option, I'll say, in deeper formats. I think he stole a base today, as a matter of fact. So I think he's going to get the opportunities, and with the opportunities, sometimes we see some rewards.
The next one, Tim, I love, and this is why you read the great Tim McLeod stuff. This is why you listen to this show. David Dahl is ready. Tim, this is a 5-tool talent. This is a guy that can play some really good defense. He can steal bases. He can hit. He can hit with power. I mean, is it all going to come together initially? Probably not. But people got to go out and get this guy rostered now, because he's going to be up here in the second half.
Well, he's going to be up in the second half, and if the Rockies make a move on either Blackman or Cargo, you know, he is that guy. And the past 10 games, man, oh, man, he has been on a tear. 20 for 42 with 5 homers, 13 RBI, and 11 runs scored. You can't get much better than that, can you?
No, it is Albuquerque, which I think you and I could play pretty well up there, Tim. So that it is. But I mean, David Dahl is a real deal. And again, no, I don't know if he's going to be that good day one, but this is a potential of the guy to be an impact player. Next guy, Tim, is one of the worst names in all of baseball, Ryan Dull.
Well, yeah, Dahl and Dull back to back. Yeah, that's sort of appropriate.
Yeah. But can you imagine, how much he got made fun of growing up? Dull?
Well, yeah, my guess is he could probably defend himself fairly well. But, you know, he's moved into the setup role, and Ryan Madsen has been good. He's got the job. But what's to say that Madsen doesn't falter, or the potential is there that he might be moved at the deadline? You know, if you're looking at setup guys that have potential for saves in the second half, depending on what happens in Oakland, Dull could work his way into the mix.
Yulesky Gurriel and Ryan Healy are the next two guys we've talked. We've given them a lot of publicity, so we're going to pass on them for now. Kevin Kiermaier comes back, Tim, and he did miss a lot of time in the first half, but one of my favorite players that I think goes under the radar.
Well, yeah, you know, the defense will always keep him in the game. But, you know, when you look at last year, you know, a lot of people were betting on Kiermaier making a step onwards and upwards this year. And I think the potential was there. Unfortunately, the injury cut his first half very, very much short. But, you know, if you're looking for stolen bases, I think we got the potential to see 8 to 10 stolen bases in the second half from Kiermaier. And he's only owned to 15% in CBS, 7 at ESPN. Now I think it's the time to be, if you're looking to chase speed, he's a good target, I think.
Sandy Leon with the Boston Red Sox, Tim. Yan Gomes has got a potential injury looming there. Leon is playing well.
Yeah, he is, and there's absolutely nothing to support what he's doing. Absolutely nothing. You look at his minor league stats, and they're bleak. And right now he's on a roll, and he's getting it done. So it's not the time to argue about, whether or not he can support what he's doing. He's doing it. Get him rostered if you have a hole, and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I saw Sandy Leon play several times in the minor league, Tim. Literally, I looked in my notes, and I just said, not very relevant. I have some one note that I said, just a guy that's out there. And here he is on one of my teams and hit a three-run home run yesterday. So, by the way, the Yankee Red Sox, it's pathetic, Tim. One of the Red Sox, I forgot who it was, might have been Xander Bogaerts, said, playing in New York, that he said more fans cheering the Red Sox than there were the Yankees. I mean, it's just, that's bad. That's just really bad.
Yeah, very, very atypical.
Yeah. Ronaldo Lopez, Tim, let's talk about this for a moment. It was announced today that Lucas Giolito is not going to get the next start, but in fact, Ronaldo Lopez is. I still think he's a closer long-term, but Tim, he's had great stuff this year. They're going to bring him up and start him. It's a guy that people should be considering.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And, you know, one of the things that crossed my mind when I saw that he was getting the call is this a showcase? Is it potentially a showcase for the Nationals to say, okay, this is the guy that we have. We need bullpen help. Could this be the guy that they dangle in front of the Yankees to try and get Chapman, Miller?
Oh, I think that's a brilliant suggestion there, Tim, because that would be the Yankees to basically get another short starting pitcher that winds up in the bullpen. So, like, a.k.a. Luis Severino. That's
right.
Brilliant observation. So,
It just seems to me that the timing is perfect. You know, they could have brought Giolito back up. They could have. Voth has earned a shot at the rotation. Why all of a sudden are we taking a guy, okay, who's got, what, I think it's only 11 or 12 innings in at AAA? Why are we bypassing those two guys to showcase and get Lopez into a major league game? And the first thing that crossed my mind is the trading deadline is only a week and a half, 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away and one day, Tim. That's exactly how far it is. Brad Miller, Tim, is painful for me because I do own him in one dynasty league, and it was the league that I traded for Trey Turner I traded Tyler Glasnow for Trey Turner because I felt like I need a shortstop, and I thought that it would be Trey Turner doing that. And all of a sudden I had forgotten because it was done in the off season that people know the story. Dusty Baker was there like, oh, I really screwed myself. But Brad Miller, Tim, has been good. 15th home run today. I mean, you could do a lot worse than – I'd rather have Brad Miller than Brandon Crawford at the moment.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it was one of those things. I was just looking through – one of my leagues has a waiver wire on Saturday night, and I just happened to be looking through it, and I see Brad Miller, and I'm thinking, why is anybody picking up Brad Miller? Like, really? And then I looked at the numbers and said, man, Timmy, you've been asleep at the wheel this year when it comes to Tampa Bay shortstops. Maybe it's just something I've built up a buffer that I don't even bother looking, but Miller's had himself a good year. So surprisingly, shocked me. I never, if you would have bet me any amount that he had double-digit home runs, I probably would have giggled.
I knew he had double-digit home runs. I don't know how he's doing it, so I need to take a look at maybe the rest of the show. I'll try to figure that out in terms of how he's actually doing it, but I've just been enjoying the run there, and, you know, I always like Brad Miller more than, oh, was the other shortstop in Seattle, Tim, that went on to be a second baseman for the Rays and wasn't all that good. He may even be out of baseball now. They came up at the same time, and I can't remember who that is. So I feel like I guessed right on that, but I never expected Brad Miller to be a 25 home run guy.
Well, no, and that's what he's on pace for. I got a question for you. Can I call on your expertise for a second?
Yes.
I own Eugenio Suarez in tote.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Suarez has had brief spurts of very, very good play, intermixed with long stints of blah. Somebody cut Ketel Marte.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to need some stolen bases. Would you make that move?
Marte's been a little injured this year.
Yep.
And is he playing a lot right now?
Yeah, he's playing full time. He missed a couple games because he had a mild ankle sprain on the weekend, but he was back playing today.
Yeah, because I have him in my NFBC. Suarez is not a speed guy. You need speeds. I think I'd rather have Suarez in general, but, you know, you could get 5 to 10 stolen bases from Marte in the second half, and he is batting at the bottom of the lineup, at least the last time I looked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a horrible thing, Tim.
Yeah, no, I just keep looking at it, and Suarez, he frustrates me to no end because I'll have him going for like 3 weeks in a row. He'll bat 091 with one run scored, two RBIs, and a caught stealing. I'll sit him on my bench, and he'll go off and hit 5 home runs in 5 days. And it's one of those ones where I'm almost at the stage where I don't care. I just don't want to look at his name on my roster.
Right. I totally agree with you. I think for your specific situation, I think in general, I'd rather have Eugenia. I think the G is silent, as opposed to Marte. But for your specific situation, I think I would take Marte, and because I know you need stolen bases, which is very unlike the great Tim McLeod, by the way.
Well, yeah, I've past couple years in tote, I've really struggled with stolen bases, and yeah, it's just, you know, this year I thought I was in reasonably good shape. Charlie Blackman has, what, 8 or 9, and Gregory Polanco has about the same. Oops.
David Peralta's the next guy, Tim, and there's so many mouths to feed in Arizona, but you think it's David Peralta's going to be one of the guys getting his mouth fed?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think we saw a good year last year. I thought he was going to build on it this year. He's doing well on his rehab stint. I believe he even stole a base. So I think he's going to be back as soon as this week. And I think I think Arizona's going to find the at-bats for David Peralta.
Sergio Romo, Tim. Anybody opportunity to see the balk off win by the Padres on Saturday night? Then they fully understand they need to give Romo a good look this week. So you think Romo's going to potentially get some save opportunities?
Well, you know, we were looking at, you know, what was it, Hunter Strickland? And then there was Law in the mix. There's been a few pitchers, but nobody has really jumped out. And since Romo has returned from his long stint on the DL, 4 scoreless outings, holds in 3 of them. And he's looking absolutely filthy. I think in an inning last night, he struck out the side. He's looking like the Sergio Romo of old. And did you happen to catch Casillas' balk off?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, man, you have to watch a clip of it because it's absolutely priceless. He went through his motion, then he slipped and sort of fell forward going forward and then threw the ball on the second attempt. Just a comedy of errors and balked in the winning run.
Wow, it's tough. That's really tough. The last three guys, I'm going to go through them very, very quickly. Eddie Rosario looks like he's back. He's flying under the radar, 15 for 39 with a home run, 4 RBI, 7 runs scored. Tyler Skaggs looks like he's just about coming back. And, Tim, I think that's a really good call for people who are saving their fab. I mean, you do worry about anybody coming back from Tommy John, but you know he's going to get the opportunity because he's in Los Angeles. And then Ryan Schimpf. Tim Schimpf, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, well, I didn't know who he was either until I started doing a little bit of looking. But Corey Spangenberg had a tear in his quad, and he has suffered a re-tear. He ain't anywhere close to returning. And the Padres turned it over to Schimpf in June, and he really struggled. He looked really out of place. But since the beginning of July, he's got 5 homers and 34 at-bats, and he's looking like he's going to be holding that job. He's virtually unowned, and right now he's on a little bit of a tear. So if you need a middle infielder, he's definitely somebody that I think is worth exploring.
Interesting. He played for New Hampshire, and I mean, that's in my world, Tim. That's double A. I have to look back to my notes. I don't have any knowledge of him. He is 28 years old, so he's kind of an old rookie. So. We'll see. So.
Well, you know what? It goes back to, you know, one of my old adages that I've used since day one, basically playing this game. And if a guy has a skill and has an opportunity, they can, you know, he's a 28-year-old rookie. But if he takes advantage of that opportunity, you know, even though he might not have the pedigree, 5 homers and 34 July at-bats, that's got enough attention considering he's got no competition for the job right now, I don't think.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Timmy, that's a wrap for the show tonight, and the reason I'm going to have to kind of close it down is we've got this crazy dog that's living with us, my son's dog. Okay. He's 5 pounds, and he's changed our entire life. We've trying to get him broken and changed, and my wife goes to bed probably about a half an hour ago, and Beans is out there in the living room area doing God knows what. So I need to get out and tend to him. In fact, we might have to alter the time that we have our show so that I can be around when to take care of Beans, at least for the next few weeks. So would it be okay if we actually pushed the time up a little bit, maybe a half hour or an hour? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all, Rich. So literally, though, for the next while, I can say you're full of beans.
I'm full of beans, Tim. Next week I will share with you the craziness that has been since Beans arrived on Monday. He's out of control. The most adorable animal you've ever seen in your life. 5 pounds, just amazingly adorable. Pain in the ass, Tim.
Yeah, you probably went, you know, 5, 10, 20 years. We thought about being a grandfather. It probably wasn't the current definition of grandparenting, correct?
Exactly. I called my son. I said, didn't you like spend any time with discipline with this dog at all? He goes, yeah, Dad, I failed on that part. Like, good luck. I hope you can straighten him out. I'm like, great.
I would suggest that obedience school might be in Bean's future. How's that?
Yeah, well, I think we've finally gotten them potty trained. My son had him peeing on an apartment pad. You know what that is? Like a pee pad that you put in your apartment? It's disgusting, Tim. It's like a litter box, except it's for an apartment for a dog. And we go into my son's apartment. What is that? It'd be pee all over. He goes, that's Bean's pee pad. I go, gross. How long has it been sitting there? Oh, that's just the stuff from today. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not going to happen here. So we're having to take him out, which is a pain, but at least he's learning to pee outside.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good thing, because the last thing you really want to, you know, there's not enough Scott towels in the world to want to make you go through that on a regular basis.
Well, this tee pad is like a big gigantic. So I'll take a picture of it one day. It's like a big gigantic. It's ridiculous. So it's funny. My niece, who is in, is a veterinarian. So she's been practicing for, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, maybe even longer. And my son called her numerous times in the early, said, this is what I'm doing. I'm training on the PPAS. She goes, don't do that. And he just ignored her and did whatever he wanted because he was too lazy to take him out. And now we're suffering from it.
Well, so, I was going to say, and now you've inherited a pot of beans.
Exactly, Tim. So maybe 8 o'clock next week, everybody. I know people would love that, because then they'd get all the information even earlier. But we might do 8 o'clock next week, Tim. I will let you know.
Sounds good. And, you know, whatever time works for you, you know, I know it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Yeah, you're going to use this a long time, Tim. Very well played. Guys, enjoy the rest of your evening, and good luck with your fantasy teams next week. And, Tim, we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yes, be well, Rich.
Bye now.